Blog Talk Radio.
Did you like it?
Zarathustra is a tough act to cover, man.
Oh, wow. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and tonight we have a special broadcast with Billy Gray. And if you don't know who Billy Gray is, don't think you're crazy. He is Bud from Father Knows Best, and he is an amazing guy, and I call him special broadcast because these are the people I really would love to speak to and always love to do these special shows. So before we start, let's just say thank you to our sponsors, the High Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kittensville, Pennsylvania, KWV Wines in South Africa, Tees for the Times and Other Stuff in Clifton, New Jersey. Their t-shirts are available on our site, Syntech Productions in Winoka Harbor, New Jersey, Oleander Public Relations in Texas, Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake, The Observer Newspaper in Kearney, New Jersey, Joey Max Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey, and GenieBottles.com, where if you want an I Dream of Genie bottle, artist Mario Delacasa, he's the man. Go see him. On the phone with me is actor Billy Gray. How are you, sir? Thank you for joining me.
Well, I just couldn't be better. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, good. Well, you know what? I'm telling you, I had no idea that you were involved in so many things. When you were on the show, especially when you got older, I mean, everybody wanted you for their brother, and the girls wanted to date you so bad. How was your dating life being on the show when you got older?
I mean, you know, I was never aware of any of that. It was an acting job, and I'd been acting since I was five, so it wasn't anything, you know, just normal stuff, really.
Right.
And we worked 6 days a week for years on end.
Wow.
Until I forget when the change, when we got Saturdays off. So it was just work, you know, and 10 and 12 hour days were not that unusual either. So my social life wasn't anything to call home about.
I had no idea that you were the boy in,
The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yes, I hate when they do remakes. They ruin it.
You know, I when I heard that there was going to be a remake, I didn't realize what they were going to do with it. I didn't have the script or anything, but I went out and got an agent and said, hey, I'd like to have a cameo, you know, do a bartender or a taxi driver or something, you know, and they gave me some copy. I got an agent, like I say, and he got me an interview with the casting director, and the casting director gave me sides to read for the doctor. Can't think of his name right now. With the Einstein figure in the show.
You know? Right.
Sam Jaffe played. So they gave me his script, his copy, and I give it my best, but I didn't expect to see anything out of it. But after hearing the reviews and seeing a little bit on TV over the years, I'm kind of glad I didn't. They said they were going another direction, you know, one of those things.
Yeah, right.
But,
well, I didn't care for it. I hate remakes. I mean,
yeah, and you know, I like it. Yeah, Connor Reeves is. I think he's done good work, and I was hopeful, but it didn't. People sent me reviews of it that were just, it just got panned horribly.
Yeah, it didn't move me at all. I hate when they ruin a classic. I really do. It's like that. They're classics. And
it's the thing I'm most proud of being involved in, obviously.
Right.
It could be shown in schools, I think, as a required viewing, just because of the import of its message. It's as timely now as it was 60 years ago.
Right, exactly. It's a great movie. Now, am I correct that you were the boy in the Twilight Zone where the neighborhood and they think there's Martians and they're blaming?
No, I never did a Twilight Zone. No.
Oh, I thought that was you in that. I thought that was you. My promo has you in saying you were in the Twilight Zone. I'm sorry about that. I thought that was
That's
you.
Okay. There's a couple other movies. People think I'm in two or three movies that I really wasn't in. Some Like It Hot. Some people think I'm in Some Like It Hot because there was a Billy Gray actor in Some Like It Hot. He was a comedian years ago. Billy Gray's Bandbox. He had a nightclub and everything. So we get confused from time to time.
And were you in Abbott and Costello Meet the Killer with Boris Karloff?
What
part did you play? Because I don't remember a kid being in that.
I had a feathered hat on. I was not a real Indian, but a little kid playing an Indian. And I shot an arrow into a post that was right near the little guy, Lou. And so I went up to him and said, "Give me my arrow." And he tried to pull it out and couldn't pull it out. And so I reached up and pulled it out and gave him a sour look.
I'm gonna have to watch it because I don't remember that scene.
It was a very small part. I did probably hundreds, literally hundreds of bit parts before I got anything worth a shit, you know.
Right. Well, I have to ask you, was Robert Young as nice as he was in?
Yes, he actually was.
Yeah, I loved him.
He was a very private person, but not at all a little reserved. I never understood or realized at the time that he. Drinking problem that he dealt with through the years, and so maybe that was part of his reserve. But a total professional and just one of the guys. Even though it was his show, and he did it on radio, you know, for
yeah,
about five
I didn't
years.
Know that. I didn't know that it was a radio program before.
I didn't either. I wasn't aware of it until I got the part in the TV segment. When they took it to TV, it's kind of interesting. When they took it to TV. They were looking for a sponsor that had a time slot, and the only one that had a time slot open was Kent Cigarettes. Mm. And it was not a good slot. It was 10 o'clock in the evening, I don't know, Wednesday, I think, or something. But that was the only one available. And they insisted that the title be changed from Father Knows Best question mark, which it was for the years it was on radio. They said they would prefer the question mark not be there. Mm-hmm. And I talked with Bob about it later on, and he said he fought to keep it because that was his concept, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And irony, you know, there was something more than just a declarative statement, Father Knows Best.
Mm-hmm.
He said he fought to keep it, but it was a deal breaker with Kent Cigarettes, P. Mm-hmm. Lorillard and Company.
Mm-hmm.
So later on I figured out, well, they had people to kill, so they didn't have any time for irony or anything like that.
I didn't know that it debuted on CBS, and then when they didn't pick it up, and then it went to NBC where it did good, and then CBS said, "We want it back," and then it was on CBS for many years.
Yeah, Das Duran, it finally got pretty good attention. I think it was in the top 10 for many of those years.
Mm. Are you still close with the remaining members of the cast?
I talk with Eleanor and Lauren from time to time. Jane passed a while back.
Yeah.
I was very tight with her. Mm. We went round and round early on because she's a Catholic, very devout Catholic, and I'm as devout an atheist as she was a Catholic. Mm. And so we went round and round until she introduced me to the concept of agreeing to disagree. I'd never heard that one before. And so we agreed to disagree and became bosom buddies after that.
This is going to sound stupid. I'm a 60s baby, so I watch reruns, obviously, but I didn't know that Bud was actually James Bud Anderson Jr. I didn't know that your name was James on the show. I thought it was just Bud. I was going to ask you, what did Bud stand for? But now I know you were a junior.
Yeah, I was a junior, right?
Yeah, I didn't know that. But now, I mean, you've done, other than acting, I mean, you are involved in so much stuff. And I got to ask, well, obviously, motorcycle racing, any guy would be into that. But, I mean, you've really taken that to another level. I mean, you're a Class A Speedway motorcycle racing champ, aren't you?
I know. I've had a motorcycle since I was 15. And when I saw the Speedway for the first time, I think it was the 1969 National Championship. I saw it live, and I said, "Hey, that's something I can. I want to try and do that." And I was able to, get into it. And when I got into it, I fell in love and couldn't do anything else. I did it 5 nights a week for years on end.
Wow! And you're a collector of motorcycles as well, no?
Well, the people think I've got a collection, but actually, it was just a pile of bent up parts. Speedway is supposed to be non-contact, but you kind of bump into each other from time to time.
Right.
So you end up with an awful lot of bent equipment. So I did have a bunch of bent equipment. I got rid of it a few years ago. Somebody wanted it all. I said, take it.
Well, what type of bike did you use to race?
They're specifically made for Speedway. They only turn to the left. If you try to turn to the right on them, the foot peg on the right-hand side is very low to give you some leverage. And so if you try to turn to the right, the foot peg scrapes before you can get going to the right. So it only turns to the left. And they only have one gear, and
fast.
Just a clutch. and so you just rev it up and let the clutch out, and that's it. You go for four laps. It's a very classy kind of thing. It really is.
Yeah.
And I could do it because it's such a short race, only a minute basically. And I could do it in my 30s. I got started in my 30s.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was so short, I could actually compete with these kids I was elbow to elbow with. You know.
Now, do you still ride? I mean, not race, but do you still ride?
I did some laps a few years ago, about 10 years ago when I was in my early 70s. I did some laps. It's on YouTube. Billy Gray Speedway something.
Oh, wow.
Gray. At Costa Mesa, there's two or three shots of me racing, but
cool.
Later on. Well, one is contemporary, or not contemporary, but it was one was when I was actually racing, and the other is an old timers thing when we got together and the old guys got to get on the track for a little bit.
Which bike do you prefer? Are you an Indian guy?
No,
a Harley guy? I don't mean racing. I mean, if you were just to get on a bike and go for a ride,
I don't like riding on the street. I started on the street. I had a bike for the street, but I found that it's just scary. You know, you just never know when someone's going to, you know, run you over.
No, there's no protection whatsoever. Did you ever get hurt in any of your races?
Yeah, well, I did get, I broke a collarbone or separated a collarbone once, but I did it for 23 years, so, one collarbone is not, I did pretty good, actually. I fell constantly, but that was one of the nice things about the bikes are so light that even if they fall on you, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, did you ever meet Evel Knievel by any chance?
Never did. I never saw. I've seen him on television, but never met him in purpose.
God, remember when everybody loved Evel Knievel? I mean, he was a hero.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, God, that was a big deal. That was a big deal. I loved him too at the time. He was great. He was crazy, but he was great.
Oh yeah. I've got images of him through the air as like a rag doll, you know, just bang, 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 bang. He missed his jumps a little too often, really.
Yeah. Well, he got banged up really bad. Oh God, several times.
I think you said he broke every bone in his body. You know?
At one time, yeah. Right. Well, now, how did you stumble on? Are you a musician or?
No, I got into the music industry through a friend of mine who was trying to teach me how to play guitar years ago when I was like mid-20s or something. And he never really pulled it off. I never really learned to play guitar. But we stayed friends, and he plays, and that's what he did was he'd come up with these problems that weren't quite right on the guitar, and he'd tell me about them, and we'd try and figure out some way to make them better.
Do you consider yourself an inventor as well?
Oh yeah, definitely inventor. Yeah. Tool maker is what I want on my tombstone is tool.
Uh-huh. Wow. And what we're talking about, by the way, guys, is Billy has several products, but the one that I can't believe it hasn't been out there all this time is the Boom Lock. It's for a boom mic stand, and it keeps the stand from falling. And I can't believe nobody thought of that. I mean, that's fabulous.
Well, they did think of it. In fact, there's everybody acknowledges that that is a problem, and there's been a couple of solutions. One was a strap. That you connected from the leg of the boom up to the leg of the stand up to the boom on the end to hold it in place. That's one way, and another way to fix that problem is put a weight on the end of the boom on the other end of the boom of the mic just to balance it off so that it doesn't want to droop down. Apparently the little clutches where you tighten it up after you've put it where you want it and you tighten it. Those things, no matter how tight you put them, they end up just oozing down over time.
Right. Well, the wear and tear, yeah.
Yeah, and so everybody recognizes the problem, and I'm hopeful that they'll recognize this as the best solution.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, what is the hose clip? Did you invent that too? Are you involved in that?
Yeah. Well, my partner, my business partner, he lives on a boat, and so he comes up with these things. He was tired of standing there holding the water. What is it?
The hose.
Yeah, the hose into the deck fill. And you have to stand there while he fills his water tank, and it takes minutes on end, you know. And so he was sticking sticks in it and whatnot to keep it there while he would do something else.
Mm.
And so he gave me that problem, and I came up with this little gimmick that keeps the hose in its spout and until it fills up, and then you take it out. Really,
yeah,
that
does.
Yeah,
great idea.
Yeah.
Well, what other products do you have that you've invented?
Well, we invented a different way to hold the strings in an acoustic guitar.
Really?
Most often, yeah, they're called power pins, and they do very well on Amazon, and we sell them on our website, Big Rock Manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is you take the bridge pins out that you're currently using, and toss them. And you put these things in permanently from the bottom. You screw in from the bottom, and you slide the string in from the side, so you don't have to take pins in and out while you're changing strings. You just slide it in from the side and pull it in, and there it is.
Wow.
And you know, we did it in order to make it quicker to change strings, but it turns out that when you clamp the bridge down to the soundboard, it increases the volume and the sustain noticeably, and so we got an unintended consequence, an improvement out of sound. We didn't do that to make it sound better, but. In fact, it does sound better. It sounds crisper, and the sustain is noticeably longer. It's one of those things that just luckily happens. You know?
And for somebody who doesn't play the guitar, you came up with these ideas. How'd you come about with the pick, the new pick?
Well, this is my partner again came up with this problem. He said a lot of people are having trouble dropping picks. And when they drop a pick, they have to, find another one right away.
Yeah.
And so there's several products out there that hold picks. You stick them to the mic stand and they hold a half a dozen picks or something.
Yeah.
And so we were trying to do something that could slip a pick that could slip onto your guitar strap. And so I made this little wraparound, took a pick and then enlarged it in one side and then wrapped it around itself so it could stick onto the guitar strap.
Wow.
And it turns out that it makes it easier to hold and you can play faster and more accurately with this because it kind of cradles the finger. And so you don't have to squeeze down on it so hard to keep it pointed in the right direction. And it just makes it relaxes your arm and your shoulder and everything, and you end up playing faster, better, and more accurately.
Cool.
So it's just kind of one thing, you know, we benefit from these unexpected things that improve the product. That's another example of how it happens.
Well, they say if you can come up with a better mousetrap, there you go, right? So Now, what's this IBEX, IBEX award? What was that? What'd you get that for?
Well, that's for the host. The host, they're a marine industry publication, and so every year they try and find the most innovative and best products that have been introduced, and the outfit that we sold the rights to an outfit called Sea Dog. Up in Washington, and they manufacture a whole bunch of stuff, marine accessories of all kinds, and they liked it, you know, right away, and started making it and putting it out into the world, and apparently this outfit noticed it and took it in to give it an award. So it's just kind of just out of left field, basically.
Wow. Did you ever think you'd be an inventor? I mean, here you are.
Well, I always have been. My mom used to tell me that I took things apart even when, you know, before I was able to put them back together.
Mm.
And that was kind of my modus operandi. If something would come into the house, I'd want to know how it worked. And kind of I was into it right off the bat. For taking things apart was one of my favorite things to do.
Wow. So it's funny how we wind up doing what we do, right? So it's crazy,
yeah.
Right? Here you've been acting and then become an inventor, and you know who cares about the acting? You're making more money in the inventing game. So.
Well, not really. There's more money. There's a little more money in acting, and unless you invent a hula hoop, and I've yet to do that, you know. But Sue, who knows?
Nice.
But I liked acting. I loved that. You know, I started, like I said, when I was 5 years old. My mother was an actress.
Yeah.
And she got me into the biz and told me just to, you know, just gave me some good advice on listen and don't sound reedy. And I don't know if reedy is a word, but what it means is when you're talking, it sounds like you're reading a book.
Right, right.
And so she just said, don't sound reedy. And that's kind of what I would try to do, is not sound reedy.
Right. Sound normal. Act normal.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And I would have kept on acting, most likely. And I might have had I'm kind of short, so my career might have been something like Fox's. He's a kind of a short kid. And but it didn't happen because I got busted for grass when I was like just out of a year or so out of the Father Knows Best thing, and I wasn't looking to be acting as that character Bud any longer. Anyway,
right.
six years of that.
You were being yourself. You were living your life.
Yeah, right. And so I got pulled over, and they found a little bag of seeds and stems in underneath the seat of my car, and. That took care of the acting, and that was I couldn't. Well, I got a couple of jobs after that, just from people who, you know, who hired me before and knew me or whatnot.
Right.
But you kind of killed
a clean cut, didn't it?
Oh yeah, it was a non-starter from there. My agent said, hey, I can't handle you anymore, and I just couldn't. And somebody sent me as a matter of fact, just today I got an email from. Lana Dale, she sent me some pictures that from a long time ago that I'd never seen before, and one of them was with Audrey Meadows, and I did after the show I did a pilot with Audrey Meadows, and it turned out that it came back to me, I forget who it was that told me about it, but that if they went anywhere with the pilot, if it was picked up to make a series out of it. It would have to be without me because of my pot arrest.
Wow. What year was that happened?
That's 1961.
dear God. I mean, that's when everybody was smoking pot. So what's the
I know,
deal?
Yeah, Jesus. Yeah. But everybody thought that it was kind of one of these things, Bud Anderson, All American
right.
Boys.
Right, no, I know. Yeah.
Dope fiend all of a sudden, you know.
Right, right, which isn't the case. I mean,
no,
pot's not something that, you know.
But, you know, I was pissed at the time that I couldn't get a job.
Right.
But it wasn't the end of the world, because it was very soon after that I found a Speedway. I saw the Speedway like in 69.
Mm-hmm.
So I got into that, and I did that for longer than I was an actor, you know. So and had way more fun.
Yeah.
I mean, even though acting is fun and I enjoyed doing it, and I felt I accomplished something with my acting ability. And the fact that I couldn't do it anymore, it would if had I not had something equally as exciting and entertaining and fulfilling as Speedway, I would have been bummed out. But you can't second guess fate. You know, you never
right.
know what's around
exactly.
the bend. You know?
And now, if you were to be playing a clean cut role and got caught busted doing something, it would be no big deal.
Yeah, it does. It wouldn't make the headlines, that's for sure.
No, that's for sure. But and it's funny, when I did the promo, somebody actually replied, "Oh, he got busted for pot, blah blah blah." I was like, "Well, I won't be talking to him about that." So you brought it up, not
oh,
me.
Oh, I don't
so.
Care. Yeah. I always knew I didn't realize it would take so long for it to become legal, but I always knew which it should be and would be.
Right, right. And it's funny, when, like, the people who are getting medical marijuana, let's say you've been smoking pot your whole life and now you got a license for it. How crazy is that?
Yeah,
I got a license to smoke pot now, you know. I mean, what a change. But, yeah, no, they just legalized it in Jersey with this election, believe it or not. I'm in Jersey.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I think it was five states had it on the ballot
this
time around, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? They can make a lot of money from it. So they're stupid not.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I think is it Oregon or Washington? One of them made like just billions of dollars for their educational fund.
I think I heard Colorado.
Right.
Yeah. You're right. I had heard that too, that they made so much money that they put it towards the school system, and it's an amazing money maker. So.
And, you know, I mean, talking about. You shouldn't drive and smoke grass. That's probably a given. But if it was a choice between somebody being, three or four shots of alcohol, and driving and taking a couple of hits and driving, I think you'd be safer if everybody was smoking grass rather than getting drunk.
Yeah. I think you get more impaired on alcohol than you would.
Oh yeah. And in fact, I heard a statistic a long time ago. I probably still true, but at any time of the day, 1 out of 10 drivers is drunk on the road.
Wow. Scary.
Which is kind of frightening when you think about it.
Yeah, very, 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 very frightening. So, when was the last time you were on the set? Was it for a reunion, or do you know if the house is still standing? Is they still being in?
Oh, you know, there was an exterior of the house that was at the Columbia Ranch, and it's a place out in Burbank that they used to have exteriors, and it was a big, great big, several blocks of prime.
Just facades.
Yeah, it's probably all condos now. I haven't seen it anymore.
Because I don't know if this is true, but what I read was that the house from Father's Knows, well, the facade for Father's Knows Best was also used for I Dream of Jeannie and Dennis the Menace. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not. You can
tell. Well, I don't know about those specifics, but it certainly was a set that was there for the use of whoever wanted to. You know, I don't even think it was built for Father Knows Best. It might have just been an existing facade that they had and say, okay, yeah, that's the house. You know, that's
right.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, do you have kids, Billy, or?
No kids. No,
I was going to ask what they thought of the show, if they had watched it. Oh. No, because it's so funny when you get people on who have kids and they try to tell them, oh, this is me. And they're like, no, it's not. You know,
yeah.
I know I've had that happen to me with my kids, with my music. I'll say, oh, that's me. And they'll say, no, it's not. You know, I say, yeah, it is. You know?
Yeah.
But it's funny because, you know, like if you were a parent, you'd be strictly just the parent. You wouldn't be an actor to them. And, you know, so, but yeah, but and now, what you have any other products in the work that are going on or anything?
Yeah,
anything
there's there is a product that we're working on. It's called a switch guard, and it goes. There's a little toggle switch on Fender guitars that you can choose which pickup you use. They've got three pickups. You can either have the front one or the back one or the middle one or the two in the back or the two in the front. And so this little toggle switch is right down at the bottom of the guitar, and apparently a lot of guitar players when they play they accidentally hit it, and it changes the pickup selection. And it's not a good thing. And so I designed this little hood that goes over the toggle switch. And we changed the top of it so that it comes out to the side, so that you can't accidentally knock it out
where you want
it.
Oh wow, that's a great idea. That's cool.
Yeah, we're just talking about getting the mold made right now on it.
Wow.
So it'll be a couple of months probably before it's on the market.
And that'll be going through Big Rock Manufacturing as well.
Yeah.
Cool. Guys, if you guys out there, you musicians that listen, I know we have a lot that do, check out Big Rock MFG.com, manufacturing.com, and you can see all these different guitar accessories there. You got the boom lock, you've got the pick, and
there's a puller, like a knob puller, and a bridge pin puller as well, and a mic jack nut tightener as well. So there's a whole bunch of little tools that help with the guitar.
Great. Now you would think that you would, after all these years doing all these products, you would at least know a couple of chords. No,
well, I do know a couple of chords, but that's about it, you know.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to say I'm a guitar player. That's
yeah,
sure.
I know a couple too. That's it. I'm no guitar player either. But that's great. All those products. I mean, like for a musician who is having those issues, I mean, check it out.
Oh yeah. The pick is one thing, but the people frequently have a favorite pick that they've learned to you know, over the years they find one pick that they really like, and so we made something else that sticks onto that pick. That gives you a little curve for the handle, so you don't have to change your pick, and you can still get the benefit of relaxation of your wrist and your elbow and your shoulder and all that. So that's the X one, and the pick. So there's lots of stuff to look at.
Yeah, definitely, guys. Check it out. BigRockMFG.com, BigRockManufacturing.com, and check out all those products. So, now, do you go to conventions to sell these products sometimes? Or?
Well, yeah. I haven't been to NAMM in a long time, but we used to go there years ago. And my partner, I've got a Bridgeport milling machine in my garage, and I take care of the technical parts of things, and he takes care of the business part of things. So he's been going to the NAMM shows and whatnot. There's an outfit called All Parts that distributes for us, and they have a booth at NAMM all the time, and they've got our stuff down there.
Cool. Now I was wondering if anybody knew it was you when you were there, when you were, you know, they knew that it was you.
Well, you know, oddly enough, I get recognized more often from the Speedway than I did.
Isn't that
kind of odd? Being in Southern California, most of the racing, at least it used to get the biggest crowds, were Costa Mesa, and that's down in the Santa Ana area, and that's where NAMM is. So if I'm noticed down there, it's probably from Speedway rather than anything else.
Did you enjoy Elvis's movie Speedway?
Yeah, I didn't see it actually, and
get out.
It's cars, you know.
No, Speedway. No, I know, but I just figured Speedway, you might be into that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But is there anything else you want to share with everybody out there? Like where people, other than going to, you could also go to billygray.com and find his products, too. I wanted to ask you, the champagne key opener, did you invent that?
Oh, too? Yeah. Hey, number one is available. You know, if you know a billionaire that's a champagne nut, let him know, and there's a finder's fee for you.
Yeah, I saw it. What's the price?
Well, now that gold is what is it, 1800 or something? It's gone way up. It used to be around 1200 an ounce.
Yeah.
And at those prices, at gold at that price, the champagne key is around $100,000.
And why did you make it gold? But they're not. Do you sell others or just the gold ones?
Well, we had some bronze ones available. But the pricing is such that it takes the casual buyer out of it, and so there just aren't that many people that are into champagne that much, and the people that are really really fanatics about it, hopefully they'll have enough money to spring for a gold champagne key.
Yeah,
the beauty of it. This is my partner came up with this too. Years ago, when he was a teenager, he was at a party and somebody hit him right between the eyes with a champagne cork, and he never forgot it. And he talked to me about it, and we worked on years ago. This was years ago, and we worked on this thing in such a way that we could safely get a cork out of a bottle and not lose any of the bubbly or anything.
Right,
too.
Right.
So what it does is it stops the cork right just before it comes out. And then you just tip your hand back, and it goes. Psh, lets the compressed air out, and then you pour away. So it's
nice.
A really elegant piece of work.
Oh,
I saw it myself. And,
yeah, I saw it. It's beautiful.
And so we figured, well, why not just? We weren't having an awful lot of sales in the bronze department because you still got to charge like $300 or something for it in bronze.
Right.
And there's just not that many people out there. So, well, let's offer it in gold. 18 karat gold. Why not?
Well, what about hard plastic and sell it to, you know, to...
Well, we thought about that as well. The mold costs are such that you never know whether you're going to come out on it money-wise
right.
or not.
You right. Wow. Oh, boy. Have you ever written or directed anything, Billy? Or
no, never did.
No.
That's a real big job, bigger job than I ever felt like I could take on. My hat's off to Ron Howard. I mean, he really pulled it off.
Mm.
But I know just enough about it to know that it's more work than I really feel like I want to take on.
Right. Are you in touch with any of that?
Actually, the only guy I'm in touch with from the biz now is Tony Dow. He lives in Topanga, too. And we get together, or at least we used to until this COVID thing.
Right, right.
He's a ping pong player, and we play ping pong and carry
nice.
On.
Nice. Well, oh, my goodness. I just want to say thank you so much. What a pleasure to finally touch base with you and talk. And I hope everything's okay out there. Is everything okay?
Yeah. Everything is
finally.
Wonderful,
finally,
yeah.
Right?
The firestorm has kind of gone away a little bit for the most part.
Yeah, because you and I, we were playing email phone tag because of the fires out there. And, you know,
yeah.
I was like, I kind of said to myself that, God, I hope he's okay. I know the fire's out there. I didn't know where you lived at the time. I know where you live now, but, you know, it's a thing. But I didn't know at the time where you were located. And I said, oh, that's pretty odd. We had a nice conversation, and we were all gung-ho to do the show. And then I didn't hear from you. I said, I hope everything's good. And then Lori, thank God, you know, reached out to me and said that you were having issues because of the fires and everything. And I said, I knew it. I just knew it. I felt
no. Well, actually, it wasn't the fire that shut me down for a couple of weeks.
No, but it was It was all the other crap.
It was electricity. We had some had an issue of electricity in the house, and the guy came up and saw how the wires were coming into the house, and the house was built in 1938. And he just looked at that, and he just cut us off. He just said, "Hey, that's no good," and just shut it down right then and there. And so we had to get a whole other way to get the wires into the house. It took a couple of weeks to pull it off.
What'd they do? Rewire the whole house?
Yeah, they had to. No, we didn't have to rewire the whole house, fortunately, but we did have to rewire how it came into the house.
Oh.
It was passing through some wood, and apparently that was okay, 38 years ago.
Right.
Or 83 years ago. My dyslexia just got me.
Yeah. Well, I hope you didn't have to pay for that.
I did, in fact, yeah.
Are you kidding? It sounds like it was an electric company thing.
Well, but it was so long ago, he just said, hey, that's not code. You know, the way that's coming in, I can't allow it to happen, So he just shut it off, and I said, can't you give me a couple of weeks to figure it out or something?
Right,
no,
something,
that's it.
Something.
Just shut it down.
Wow. Well, you got to come up with something like that. People get, instead of having a generator or anything, a way to get power.
As a matter of fact, I got a generator on order now just to have a backup just in case.
I always wanted one, to be quite honest. I'm not going to lie. I always wanted one. Myself.
Yeah, there's a nice little Honda out there for about $1,000. It'll take care of business and be real quiet. They say it's real quiet. I haven't got it yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
Did you ever see those Generacs? They look almost like an AC unit, but it's for strictly it's a backup generator. As soon as you're
I have seen that. It's a little more than I want to carry on with now, but. But I did see that generator.
I'd like one of them. They're like 15,000-20,000,
It's a little more than I'd want to spill right now.
No,
but,
me too. But I'd love to.
But it is great insurance because you never know. I mean, we take all this electricity for granted, totally.
Absolutely.
When it's gone, you realize, oh my God, this is this is major.
right. Well, we had Sandy, the storm Sandy out here a while ago. Oh God, I don't even know how many years now it's been. And we were out without power for 2 weeks, and it was horrible, especially when you got little kids, It's like, we can't watch TV, we can't use our phone, we can't use our computer. So, what a pain in the ass that was, but that's when I really wanted to get a generator. My neighbor, this is a funny story if you have a minute, my neighbor, they had one, and they let us plug in between, we knew what time they went to bed. Put it that way. They went to bed at 8 o'clock at night. So when they came home from work, they let us plug in, and we literally got an hour. So thank God the car had the TV screens in it, so the kids could watch DVDs. We could charge the phones. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, it is when you don't have something that you're used to having. It is hard. It is hard.
Yeah.
But it's life. What are you going to do? People lived without electricity for many, many years, and they were fine. But they didn't But they didn't have the toys we have, so.
That's true.
If we didn't have the toys, we wouldn't care, Billy, thank you again. I really enjoyed speaking with you. It was a pleasure. I'm so glad I got to meet you over the phone, and we finally touched base, and I'm so happy about all the things that you're working on. It's amazing. I just can't believe it, but I will let everybody know about it for sure, and I have a lot of musician friends that follow me and listen to the show, so who knows? Maybe we'll get some traffic your way.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank
good
you.
Good talking with you.
Yes, you too, sir. Everybody, Billy Gray. Thank you so much. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye. Oh, that was fun. Billy and I, we were trying to touch base for a while, and I'm glad we finally made it happen. So, and tomorrow night, we're going to have another special broadcast. Anson Williams from Happy Days is coming back. He's been helping a lot of people out during the pandemic with pandemic fatigue with his alert drops. I don't know if you guys know. But Anson is the nephew of Henry Heimlich, Dr. Henry Heimlich, I should say. And he came up with the Heimlich maneuver. And Anson has a few products that he's come out with health-wise, too. And these alert drops, they're natural, all natural, and they keep you awake and they don't harm you. So we're going to talk to Anton again tomorrow. Wednesday, we have a great show for Veterans Day. We've got Bobby Pelegi. He's from Aloha Music, and he's got a band that he's promoting. I'm not sure if he wrote the song or not. We'll find out, but it's called I'm an American, Yeah, and the name of the band is Hannah. I'm not sure. They're from Hawaii, so I don't know if I'm pronouncing that properly. And then Rick Ryan will be back with us. He is a great songwriter, and he wrote a song. Oh, God, the name of it. Oh, I always want to say Home. Is it Homeland? Homebound? Anyway, it's for, he wrote it. It's on the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young album, so that's cool. And we will be off on the 15th, and Tim Bruckner will be with us on the 18th. He's an artist and sculptor. He's done so many album covers, and he's also a sculptor for DC and Marvel, and amazing, amazing artwork, my God. And then on the 22nd, we'll be doing a JFK special, I guess. I don't want to say, no, I hate to say it's special, but where Rick Ryan will be back, and he wrote a song in regards to that. And Buffy Ford Stewart, who knew JFK and RFK and knew them personally, and also her husband was John Stewart. He wrote Daydream Believer, amongst other songs. And then there's also on the 24th, we've got Hank Garrett, actor Hank Garrett, he'll be on. And on the 25th, Coco Dolan, Mickey's sister. And she is a musician in her own right, and also has performed with the Monkees, and you'll never guess how. And she'll be on, and I don't know if anybody will be joining us that night, but we'll find out. And then the 27th, Mr. Steve Cannon will be joining us. He is a radio DJ. He has a new show out. Well, it's not new. He's had it on a while, but it's a great show, and he talks about old movies and whatnot. And we're going to talk to him about that. And we're going to also introduce Steve for our King of Trivia. Steve is the self-proclaimed King of Trivia. And we're going to talk to Steve about himself, probably the first half hour or so. And then the second half hour, we're going to do a contest, a trivia contest. You cannot call in, hear a question, and call in. You have to call in and hear the question. No cheating. No cheating. He's going to try and stump me, too. He's probably going to get me good, I'm sure. I told him he's got to be easy on me. I don't remember much these days. So then, again, Buffy Ford Stewart will be back with us on the 9th, on the 29th, and we're going to discuss her affiliation with the Monkees and her life with the Monkees, and that's going to be a great show, too. And December, we're shooting for holiday theme, guys, so we will do our best to get you that stuff. So, again, thank you to Billy Gray from Father Knows Best, amongst other movies. Now a fully credited inventor of music products, shockingly so, since he's not really a musician. But hey, you know what? If there's a need, you find if something needs to be fixed, you fix it, no matter what. So that's great. He invented another mousetrap. So that's great. So thank you all again for listening. Appreciate it. Thank you, Billy, again. Thank you to our sponsors, the High Bar and Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kentnersville, Pennsylvania, KJBV Wines in South Africa, Tees for the Times and Other Stuff in Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions in Oakham Harbor, New Jersey, Oleander Public Relations in Texas, Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake, The Observer Newspaper in Kearney, New Jersey, Joey Max Hot Dogs and Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey, and GenieBottles.com. And what's today? Today's Tuesday, so it's too early for the weekend. So let's play. You know what? I don't know if everybody's going crazy out there, but remember, be kind to everybody, okay? It's free. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt to be nice to somebody. Hang on. Take care. Have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow. Anton Williams. Thank you. Bye-bye.